When we talk about our fake government being a murderous corporate crime syndicate, we aren't kidding. People are dying all over the place, and all of it is suspicious. Never lay down, never give up, I am a fighter. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. So here's a question. How often has a chef been found mysteriously dead on your property? How often have they been found mysteriously dead on your friend's property? I mean, we have to ask that question because if you're an elite Democrat, apparently being their personal chef is one of the most dangerous jobs on the entire face of the planet. For example, Walter Scheib worked for years at the White House as a chef for the Clintons. In 2015, he somehow drowned in the mountains of New Mexico. Well, now Tafari Campbell, who worked with Barack Obama at the White House and stayed in his orbit after he left, has been found dead in an 8-foot-deep pond on Martha's Vineyard. Maybe he drowned. Although there's a lot of old photos and videos of him in the water as an avid swimmer, if that's the case. Or maybe he was jabbed and died suddenly while out on the water. It wouldn't be the first, second, or even 10,000th person to die that way, of course. But maybe it's something else completely. You know, chefs see a lot. They hear a lot. They learn a lot. And if they have a falling out or decide to leave for some information or get fired, they have a whole trove of information that they could give to the press. They become a loose end. Campbell spent more than a decade around the Obamas. The perfectly normal Obama family, by the way, where the husband once wrote a letter to his girlfriend saying that he considered gayness but chose the greater challenge of a heterosexual relationship. The perfectly normal Obama family where the wife looks like Serena Williams after a round of performance-enhancing drugs. So what did Campbell know exactly? What did he overhear? What did he see? We have to ask that. And Walter, what did Walter Scheib see when he spent two terms in the Clinton White House? Why is there this weird overlap between being a Democrat chef and not knowing how to swim well? But then swimming anyways. Don't expect to ever get a real answer. The only takeaway is this. When they can have the loose ends cleaned up on their own property instead of in the mountains of New Mexico, it's a sign that they think that they're invincible. We spoke yesterday with Owen Benjamin about the Empire of Lies, and he joins us now. So breaking news here earlier today, last night, the Obamas were present, by the way, on Martha's Vineyard. The original story, no, they weren't here. So your thoughts on this chef, who, by the way, we've now seen videos. He was an avid swimmer. He was doing laps in the pool. His handle was Fit Chef, by the way.
If I was Obama's chef, I'd wear floaties all the time.
If I was a chef at all, I would just bail immediately. If you are Biden's chef right now and you're watching the Stu Peters Show, we have advice. Get the hell out of there right now.
Yeah, man. I think someone saw Big Mike's wane. I think it has to do with Big Mike.
Yeah. So Michelle Obama or Big Mike's flailing nutsack was discovered somehow by the chef, and then he decides to go take a swim immediately after. Got to cool down. But I mean, seriously, we have to consider all possibilities. He could have taken the death jab as well. Wouldn't be the first time we now see Bronny James had a cardiac arrest. We'll be talking, I believe, with Peter McCullough on that later today. But yeah, I mean, so people are dying in droves because of this shot. So certainly, you know, people at the peak of their physical condition are not immune to the effects of the weapon of biowarfare. But you'd think it was something more cynical than that.
Well, yeah, I also just think it's weird how people just immediately act like you're crazy for asking questions. You know, like I was making fun of it on Twitter quite a bit. And the reaction by some people of just being like, you know, you're a conspiracy theorist, all this stuff. It's like, yeah, exactly. Like, how many chefs die on your property? I mean, don't get me wrong. Chef Boyardee is buried on my property. But the amount of death that surrounds these people is not statistically possible. You know, it's just, and 8 feet of water paddleboarding. I mean, that just doesn't, it's almost like out of American Psycho. Remember how everything was returning videotapes?
Yes.
And everyone just believed it. He's like, oh, I was just returning videotapes. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, definitely.
So what does it say about the greater society and the programming effect that has taken place here that immediately they accuse you of politicizing a tragedy and being an insensitive prick and a conspiracy theorist, tinfoil hat wearing extremist Nazi? I mean, so you have to be all of these things for part of the discrediting campaign, of course. But what about the larger society going, I wonder if there really was something awry there. I mean, I wonder if something, if there was some, you know, bad behavior happening on Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, like my most generous take would be people are just scared and that's their coping mechanism to just ad hominem anyone who can see the truth. Because it is a crazy time. I mean, when I was making fun of it, I was making fun of Jamie Foxx on Twitter. And someone's just like, yeah, people just die, man. Everything isn't about the vaccine. I'm like, 15-year-olds didn't die of strokes ever. Like, I'm 43. I remember my whole life. I played sports. No one died of strokes as a teenager. That's totally new. And so I think it might be so horrifying for people that they can't face it. Like, I've seen that. I mean, that's my most generous take. My most cynical take is they're anti-human depopulationists, and that's the way to, you know, cover their tracks. And, you know, I was thinking about it, like that class of people, they almost see other humans like we see chickens. Like me and Stu were joking before the start of this about owning chickens and how one pecked my 2-year-old son, and we immediately just chopped its head off and ate it, and it was quite satisfying.
Nothing more gratifying.
It's amazing. It's like, oh. My 2-year-old, I'm like, which one pecked you? And he's like, bad chicken. And I'm like, and he's like, dad, bad chicken. And he got to see his giant father take the chicken, decapitate it, and eat it. And it's just so natural and great. I wonder if there is a class of people that's just like, this meal sucks. Let's eat the chef. You know, like they're that class oriented where they really see the peasants as, I used to have this crazy conspiracy theory. That's why they were pushing the vegan agenda, because you can only eat herbivores. You know, that's why you don't eat bear or wolf. I mean, some people eat bear, but it's a real roll of the dice because of trichinosis or something.
Yeah, and they can be very greasy, very fishy tasting. I'm not a big bear fan.
Yeah. It's all about eating cow, everything that eats plants. So if you get people to eat plants, I don't know. I mean, do people want to
wait, is that why they're pushing us to eat plants and bugs? Is that what this is all about? They want to eat us eventually? I've seen enough episodes of Survivor. So the guy pretending to be Damar Hamlin actually weighed in on this Bronny James deal. Prayers to Bronny and the James family as well. Here for you guys, just like you have been for me my entire process. Is that how you refer to your life now, as an entire process? I mean, who is this actor that's pretending to be? And then, of course, now the actor that is pretending to be Jamie Foxx, he hasn't weighed in on this yet at all. But I mean, I'm sure that these people, these AI forms of whoever these real people are, this fleshy AI, as you were discussing yesterday, will likely weigh in soon. But I agree. I think that the larger story here is actually being unafraid to say what's real, whether it's you're politicizing something or not. I don't think that that's the case anymore. I could give two about politics right now. What I care about is saving lives, okay? Because our political structure is entirely fake. If we can wake up the masses to how murderous this corporate crime syndicate is and how serious these people are about actually killing you and raping your kids and depopulating the planet and blacking out the sun and all of the covering up for NASA. I mean, all of these things, if we can show you, like, literally, hey, bring me proof about the moon landing, okay? And I'll wait. Just show me real proof. Why is everything a CGI? Why can't I just see a picture from the space station? Why can't I just see a real picture with a camera taken from a satellite?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, and look, I'm not a sold out flat earther. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that I unequivocally know 100% that the earth is flat. Why? Because I've never been up there. I've never been there.
Exactly.
But people call me, the people with blue check marks on Twitter just absolutely freak out when I say, you know, NASA has to prove to me about this globe theory, about this big ball that's just like hurling through space at 68,000 miles per hour and like spinning at 10,080, whatever it is, 1,080 miles per hour. But yet I was out on the lake yesterday and guess what the waters were? Like glass, totally calm. I mean, somebody explain that to me and I'd be willing to entertain the theory. But until then, I'm going to question everything that this fake government says because we live under the empire of lies.
Well, I know something funny. Is they're more angry when you admit you don't know, because that's what terrifies them. Because I'm the same way. they almost prefer flat earthers with like a set model that they can just like, they can, that almost makes them more comfortable than someone like me. I consider myself a globe skeptic where I'm like,
yeah,
okay, well then how does a lighthouse work? I can do the 8 inches per mile squared math. How does that work? And they're like, so then you think that it's like a disc and that we're going to fall to it. And I'm like, no, I obviously don't know. I live on a farm in Idaho. I'm a comedian. Like I've never been, but you can't answer those questions. Like, why can't we fly over Antarctica? Why is Antarctica off limits? Why is the only treaty that's ever existed that's been enforced for the last 70 years?
It just came to me. You and I, Owen Benjamin and Stu Peters, are going to do an unguided trip to Antarctica.
I've thought about it. I think about it every day.
We got to go see. We got to dispel the rumors. Can we make it through the fortress? I mean, I heard Antarctica has its own Iron Dome, which, by the way, we spent billions on for Israel, our greatest ally.
The craziest thing is like John Kerry went to Antarctica on election day in 2016. The Pope goes, Vladimir Putin's been there. It's just like, what's there? And people are like, oh, nothing. It's just ice. It's nothing.
Is that where Damar Hamlin is hanging out and maybe Tupac, you know, and JFK?
Well, I think that there's land. There's land that it just isn't on maps. I don't know if it's Antarctica or somewhere else, but I think whoever controls the map controls the paradigm. That's why America is named after a map maker, Amerigo Vespucci. It's like, if you make the map, you make the mind, you know? And so that's why, you know, the flat earth map is the UN map. And that's why it's so funny when people get so crazy about flat earthers. I'm like, the United Nations, their map is the flat earth map. Do you think they might know something or they're telling you something? And people are like, no, I saw the curve from the plane. And then you show Steel to Bike Tyson, and you're like, he says you can't see the curve until 130,000 feet because there's no curve at 100,000 feet. Like, I'll show you video of
it. But then you're supposed to believe that it changes every 55 and a half meters or whatever it is. Yeah. I was on board an aircraft, and, you know, the pilots, they by and large, they know me on the airline that I fly because, you know, they have been the subject of a lot of conversation here about pilot incapacitations and dying suddenly and how they were forced to take these shots and how they're now dealing with, you know, chest pains and palpitations, but not saying anything because, of course, they'll lose their flight status. They'll lose their medical. And so, you know, when I get on the plane, a lot of the pilots recognize me. And there was a time just recently that I said to the pilot, I said, okay, so we're going from Minneapolis, St. Paul International Airport to Tampa Airport, right? Yeah. Okay. So that's, you know, X miles. What's our cruising altitude going to be? And he said, well, 38,000. I don't know if that's exactly the number that he said. And I said, okay, so if we're at 38,000 feet, now when you start to descend, you feel it. You feel it in your body. You feel it in your gut. Your ears pop, all these things. I mean, even the slightest change of altitude, you feel it. You can't not feel it, right? Yeah. I said, well, so are we then going to be constantly reducing our altitude to maintain 38,000 feet above the ball's surface? Is that, and he just asked me to go take a seat. And then the other guy, I said, no, seriously. And then I looked at the co-pilot or the first mate or officer, whatever it is. And I said, hey, so the earth is spinning at 1,080 miles per hour. Our cruising speed is going to be roughly 580 miles per hour. So are we going to wait for Tampa to catch back up to us then, or how is it? And they just laughed and asked me what I ordered for my meal of the day. Okay, so we can talk flat earth or Michelle Obama, Michael Robinson's flailing nutsack. I mean, there's just, look, the empire of lies needs to constantly be questioned, and I think that everybody needs to be ungovernable. I know that you have goats to milk or feed or something, and so we'll let you go, but we always appreciate you coming back. Owen Benjamin, thank you so much. Oh, by the way, unauthorized.tv for some of the hottest and most real takes and questioning the actual official narratives and obliterating them completely. Unauthorized.tv. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, you brother. Appreciate it.
Of course. Always love having that guy, Owen Benjamin. Seriously, don't mind being the neighborhood conspiracy theorist. Don't mind asking the questions. Question every single thing that this empire of lies tells you, including down to the fact, I'm an America First conservative fighter. Okay, Marjorie. Everything they tell you is a lie. How many kids have to die from a Pfizer injection or at the hands of the Hollywood elite that are drinking their blood? How many kids have to be purchased by gay couples and then molested before you start questioning, oh yeah, you know what, gay marriage is great, and now we should allow them to transgender and then rub their genitalia in front of our kids' faces and then buy them, purchase them from like a catalog, make them, use a surrogate to grow them, and then take them away from a loving mother in need of the colostrum from her mother's milk or his mother's milk in order to drink. And yes, when they are born, it is a he or a her. But we're told to believe that lie, that Bruce Jenner is a beautiful woman. I mean, come on. Be a conspiracy theorist. Chances are you're absolutely right. You'd also be right if you knew that the only way to protect yourself against hyperinflation was to buy physical gold and silver. I buy my gold from Goldco. Plus, when you call Goldco and you mention this program, The Stu Peters Show, you'll get up to $10,000 in free silver with your qualified account. Call them today. 855-706-GOLD is the phone number. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Again, a hedge from hyperinflation. Protect yourself from the great financial reset. Checking accounts, savings accounts, IRAs, 401ks, all at imminent risk. Protect yourself with gold and silver. Call Goldco today. 855-706-GOLD. We'll be right back.
Taxation is theft, especially when your money is used to fund evil.
Wear a mask. Get boosted.
Corona hoax. Mass deception. America controlled by fear. Good news. There's another way. You can stop paying for the crimes and cover-up today through Freedom Law School.
The best thing you can do, according to the IRS's own official auditors, is to stop filing and paying income taxes.
Based on the government's official websites, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. See the proof for yourself on freedomlawschool.org. Don't wait to drain the DC swamp. Start your journey to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Starve out the problem. Weaponize your earnings. Defund the swamp and fund the truth and freedom movement today. Go to livefreenow.org and restore the freedom we all miss.
Okay, so here's a new one. Incredibly amazing stuff here. Scientists have actually discovered a mushroom that, get this, grows new brain cells. Through a newly discovered phenomenon called neurogenesis, it's now known that the brain can actually regenerate itself, and this exotic mushroom stimulates that process. I mean, they should give some of this stuff to Joe Biden. To learn more about this and the new breakthrough product, go to newtopia.com/stew and use promo code StuPeters10 for 10% off your first jar. I got to tell you, this is a huge breakthrough for anyone who just wants to be smarter. And I mean, who doesn't want that? Again, to learn more, go to newtopia.com/stew. Again, newtopia.com/stew. Welcome back. Like we always say on this show, we live under the empire of lies. Now, many of those lies, of course, are big ones. Lies about COVID shots or about the war in Ukraine, or even about what happened in the 2020 election. But by no means is the empire of lies restricted to lying about the really big things. They also assault us constantly with this barrage of smaller lies. These are the lies that are intended to humiliate us by forcing us to hear what's obviously false and simply just going along with it. These lies are intended to fill us with despair by making us feel powerless about how corrupt the system is and how difficult it is to create any kind of accountability. These lies come from both sides of the fake aisle, by the way. And these are the kinds of lies that Hunter Biden's saga falls into. Everything about this man's life is just one lie after another. Back in 2019, they spun up an entire sham impeachment of President Trump because he called up Zelensky in Ukraine and said, "Hey, what's the deal with this Hunter Biden character? Is he taking any money from your oligarchs?" And based on that phone call, we had to listen to a half a year's worth of bogus fake GOP hearings capped off with a bogus impeachment. But it wasn't just that, of course. We had to hear lies about Hunter Biden's work with Burisma in Ukraine, the fraudulent energy company. We had to listen as journalists claimed, with a straight face, by the way, that Hunter Biden was this talented lawyer and anti-corruption expert who made it perfect sense to pay $80,000 per year for this exalted knowledge. Then, of course, in 2020, we had to endure another wave of lies. As the press colluded to suppress all discussion of Hunter Biden's laptop, we learned the rampant degeneracy and criminal activity that that laptop revealed. We learned that it was legitimately Hunter Biden's laptop, even though Fox News, along with everyone else, completely spiked the story leading up to the election. We heard lies that there was no proof of Hunter Biden selling access to his father, the sitting vice president, to foreign oligarchs. We were told there was no evidence, even as Tony Bobulinski, a former associate, stood up and said loudly that, in fact, that's exactly what happened, that the Bidens were flagrantly corrupt, and that when emails on Hunter's laptop talked about setting cash aside for the big guy, that meant Joe Biden. In 2021, we suddenly had this plot twist that now Hunter Biden is this talented painter, and his amateur paintings were so incredible that the world was just clamoring for an auction of his best works. We all had to sit and watch as this painting auction happened and raised more than $1 million, and then had to listen as the fake, lying criminal press claimed there was no way that the Bidens would ever know who bought these paintings, so it was all above board and definitely not corrupt. Don't worry. And then this year, even more lies. We now have multiple IRS whistleblowers that have stepped forward and are saying the obvious, that Hunter Biden is an obvious criminal, and he's being treated with kid gloves by the DOJ and the FBI. And then without missing a beat, the DOJ just swoops in and announces, hey, we've cut a plea deal with Hunter Biden. It's all over. So he gets to have someone else pay off his taxes for him. He gets his gun charges diverted, and he spends no time in jail. Oh, and all of those years where he made millions from foreign governments and paid no taxes, whoops, statute of limitations expired. Can't do anything about it. Sorry. All of these are lies. And as time passes, they all get exposed. In fact, just this week, we have multiple lies about the Hunter story being exposed. First, there's all the claims that, sure, Hunter might have been taking millions of dollars from oligarchs in China and the biolab containment zone known as Ukraine, but there's no proof that he gave those oligarchs access to his dad. Maybe they were just paying him millions of dollars for no reason at all whatsoever, but he was really honorable and actually didn't give them anything. That's another lie, of course. Because now new testimony from Devin Archer reveals that all the way back in 2015, while meeting with the founder of Burisma in Dubai, Hunter called up his dad, the sitting vice president, on speakerphone and had them just, you know, chat a little bit. So all of those claims about Joe Biden not talking to any of his son's corrupt business associates, that's a lie. Shocker. And then there's his painting career. The claims from the White House that Hunter didn't know who bought his paintings. But now there's this new report from Business Insider. And yep, spoiler alert, you guessed it. Hunter knew exactly who bought his paintings. One of the buyers, by the way, a big Biden donor. And right after buying that painting, Biden named her to the Commission for the Preservation of America's Heritage Abroad. Just another cushy deal in the empire of lies. Honestly, this story might involve less treason than Hunter's China dealings, but it actually might be more offensive because it's just such a glaring lie. It's completely obvious to literally everyone with open eyes that Hunter's painting career is fake. It's just a way to launder money. It's right in front of everyone's faces. There's literally no other possible interpretation for what's happening here. And yet they just shove these lies down our throats like it's nothing. Now, we want to be clear. Hunter Biden isn't the biggest criminal in the empire of lies. No, he's actually just a pathetic being. He's a loser drug addict who spends all of his days cooking crack or screwing whores or banging his brother's widow or abandoning his kids. Everybody knows that he's stupid and worthless. He's not masterminding anything. No, he's just this conduit for cash to pay off his dad. But he is a powerful symbol. Yeah, because he's a symbol of the excess that our elites get away with. He's the way of rubbing this reality in our faces because he gets away with everything while nonviolent selfie-taking grandmas from January 6th might face years in prison. And for that reason alone, Hunter Biden matters. For that reason, if we ever really do legitimately hold power again, meaning we the people, or we have a serious president, we have to make a solemn promise. We cannot let Hunter Biden go free. He has to be held accountable for what he's done to the maximum level of accountability possible. John Kiriakou is a former CIA officer and investigator for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He dedicated 14 years of his life to the agency until the CIA's behavior forced him to become a whistleblower instead. John was the first CIA whistleblower to report the agency was torturing detainees via waterboarding, a revelation that got him imprisoned by the murderous George Bush administration. Well, thanks to that, John is the only person to have been punished in any way for the CIA's illegal clandestine torture program, for exposing it, rather than for participating in it. John Kiriakou joins us now. John, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you making the time for us.
Oh, thank you, Stu. Anytime. And may I offer one correction?
Sure.
It was the murderous Barack Obama administration that imprisoned me.
You know, half of one, six dozen of the other. I mean, these are all murderous regimes. Fake government, corporate crime syndicate. They're a criminal enterprise. And here we have these Hunter Biden stories. They just keep coming and coming and coming.
Every day.
And yet we just turn away Fox News, CNN, all of these so-called conservative media outlets, Sean Hannity pounding on his desk saying, can you imagine if a Republican did that? And that's all we get. What about real accountability? What does that look like?
Oh, there is no accountability. What that would look like would be a legitimate investigation followed by a legitimate prosecution. But we know from previous experience that it's just not going to happen. people who come to Washington, to official Washington, enrich themselves. This is the system that we've created for ourselves. And then if you fall afoul of the law, if you're an insider, hey, no problem. You're going to get away with it. Look at General David Petraeus, supposed to be big hero, big war hero. He exposes the identities of 10 covert CIA operatives to his adulterous girlfriend. No problem. He doesn't get charged with espionage like somebody else we know does. He gets a misdemeanor count, and when he is sentenced to unsupervised probation, the judge comes down from his bench to shake his hand and to thank him for his service to the country. We have Leon Panetta, who was the CIA director before becoming Barack Obama's Secretary of Defense, who outed the Navy SEAL that killed Osama bin Laden in a speech that included the executive producer, the director, and the writer of the film Zero Dark Thirty, and then said, "Oh, my bad, I didn't realize there were uncleared people in the audience. No problem." But then the CIA's Office of Public Affairs redacts 27 lines in addition to the name of the Navy SEAL. There's no prosecution there. The bottom line here is, if you're an insider or related to an insider, you can do anything you want in Washington. You can enrich yourself. You can get away with crimes, with felonies, serious crimes, and nothing is going to happen to you. Nothing.
And why is that? Is that because if a dissident speaks up, or if a public threatens to rise up, then what? We have January 6th where they throw us in prison. I mean, we didn't have a violent insurrection on January 6th. Nobody even brought a gun. Can you imagine had we brought guns?
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if it really was an insurrection? We have people being, there was a guy yesterday, just found guilty this week, who was found guilty of interfering with an official proceeding, which is a felony. He wasn't even in Washington, D.C. at the time. He wasn't even in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, but now he has a felony on his record. And with a felony, you lose your gun rights, you lose your right to vote, and in many cases, you lose your pension.
Noel Fritch, who now works in the communications department at this network, had his wife visited with kids, all kinds of kids, by the feds. While Noel wasn't even present, Noel was nowhere near the Ellipse on January 6th. Noel was nowhere near the Capitol on January 6th. But yet, you know, here they are showing up at his place, asking questions, intimidating his wife. This is what we have to go through in this country until something happens.
Yes.
So what is the something that needs to happen? We oftentimes tell our viewers, hey, we can't just sit back and trust the plan. There's no plan to save this country. No man is riding in on a white horse to save it. We have to be the plan. So what does that look like? I'm interested in your input.
You know, I hate to say it, but we need more mass movements in the street. It's only going to be when the people who are in power, the people who are in charge, actually fear for their careers, fear for the well-being of the little sinecures that they've created for each other, will we get real change. Only when they realize that we're serious about this will there be real change.
Do you think that?
Otherwise, I don't think there will be.
And in the process of doing that, because I mean, I think that we're steadfastly approaching, you know, that red line, unlike the red line in Syria by Obama, I think we're crossing the threshold of the tolerant masses. And I think that despite the fact that the media continues to lie and kind of normalize, you know, all of the, first of all, the pedophilia and the molestation, yes, and, you know, the bioweapon jabs that now have caused Bronny, you know, to have sudden heart attack, arrest, cardiac arrest, or, you know, chefs just dying in 8-foot deep ponds at Martha's Vineyard. You know, all of this is just kind of swept under the rug. But I think, despite the fact that we're programmed into believing that if you question any of these official narratives, you're part of this fringe minority of, you know, extremist, radical conspiracy theorists, I think that that's a lie. And I think that there are at least 100 million people in this country who realize, hey, we don't live in a two-party constitutional republic form of democracy. We're not ruled by two parties. We have a uniparty. We have a corporate crime syndicate that includes the people from the right. And I think that that will happen. What you're suggesting will happen. So what does that actually look like as fallout to that? I mean, do we have to go through a period where this country is unrecognizable and dark in many ways before we climb out of it?
I think so. I think things have to get much worse before they could possibly get any better. You know, let's use Robert F. Kennedy as an example. Robert F. Kennedy has seen several different kinds of plans by which the Democratic National Committee has chosen to address his candidacy. First was just to ignore him. And when that didn't work and he remained in double digits of support, they decided to attack. Now, when he made this comment, whenever it was, a week ago, about what he said was that there have been reports that, and then he talked about people who are Jewish and people who are Chinese and their levels of infection during COVID. He didn't say that he believed it. He didn't say that he had proof of it. He said there were reports that, and there were reports that, but that's not what anybody said in their criticism. Their criticism was that he's unhinged, that he's a fringe candidate, that he's a lunatic, that he's a conspiracy theorist. But he never said any of that. All he said was there were reports and that those reports require investigation.
Yeah, there's a lot of clear-cut reasons why this program doesn't support an RFK presidency. However, we do agree with sure. Most of his sentiment on the vaccines, that they're not vaccines, that they are indeed a weapon of biowarfare, although he falls short of saying that himself. But, still advocating or being tolerant of killing and murdering babies, we're not in on that. Plus, sure. He's an uber ultra-liberal. And so for a lot of these policies, we don't agree with that. Plus, just his voice alone, can a guy with a voice like that really lead a country? I don't know. I don't feel like I'm hoping that it's a protest campaign and that his actual goal here is to increase or mainstream, the narrative, the truth about, how dangerous these weapons of biowarfare are, who's funding them, where they're being developed right here in our country, Fort Detrick, for example, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, to call out Peter Daszak and, the EcoHealth Alliance, to expose the weapons of biowarfare laboratories that are in Ukraine that seem to be, by the way, strategic targets of Vladimir Putin. And now they're showing up in Sudan. What do you know? Our State Department, Victoria Nuland, the failure that she is all of a sudden appearing in Sudan. Everywhere we go, we stick our missiles and our agenda and our bio labs in these countries. And then what do you know? These people are dying and breaking out in civil war until the military industrial complex says, hey, we've got a boom bust thing going on here. And then you got Pfizer butt slut Lindsey Graham calling for war everywhere. Sending, hey, by the way, on Twitter saying, let's send cluster bombs to these people, openly advocating for the murder of innocent civilians, but yet he keeps his Twitter account. I can't show a tranny's dick on my Twitter without getting banned.
That's right. You're absolutely right. And I'm glad you brought up Victoria Nuland, because there was an announcement made by the State Department yesterday that was completely and utterly ignored by the mainstream media. And that was an announcement that Victoria Nuland on July 31st will replace Wendy Sherman as the Deputy Secretary of State. So why promote Victoria Nuland, who's the godmother of the neoliberal, neoconservative foreign policy? What did she do to earn it? This is supposed to be, an administration that professes peace over the long term, not war. This is the godmother of that war. And this comes 2 weeks after the promotion of Elliot Abrams, a convicted felon who was the godfather of the George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush neoconservative foreign policy. I just don't understand the direction that this country's going in.
The architect of 9/11, by the way.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah. Well, what say you about that?
I think that it was that foreign policy that led to 9/11. Listen, I say this all the time, but my mom was sort of very typical of an American who didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the daily machinations of foreign policy. She was just an elementary school teacher, just a normal American. And after 9/11, she said, well, this happened because they hate our freedoms. And I said, Ma, come on. This happened because they hate the fact that we blindly support Israel. It's our pro-Israel foreign policy that caused this. It's the fact that we have military bases in Saudi Arabia that caused this. They didn't just think, we hate freedom of all things.
There's a flip side to that, too. This could be that it was orchestrated in order to strengthen our relations with Israel.
Well, there's that.
Remember the dancing Israelis?
Yeah, the dancing Israelis. Oh, listen, those Israelis, whoever they were, weren't stupid. They knew exactly what was going to happen in the aftermath of 9/11. They knew that we were going to kill as many people as we possibly could. Yep. They knew that it would take years. So regardless of who it was we were going to go to war with, they were for it.
Because the United States military-industrial complex uttered the words, they said, we're going to go and bring about democracy. What did we do after it was exposed that, whoops, there were no weapons of mass destruction, George W. Bush? What happened after, oh, all of those Saddam Hussein ties to Al-Qaeda turned out to be fake as well? Well, then they had to change the whole narrative, the whole purpose of the invasion of this country and the death of Iraqi civilians to spreading democracy. The same thing happened in Libya. The same thing happened in Syria. The same thing happened in Afghanistan. All of this spreading of democracy really just turns out to be money laundering to enrich NGOs and prop up the power of these fossil figureheads in the D.C. Beltway. They're murderers.
Absolutely. Listen, it's no accident that Washington, D.C. has the highest concentration of millionaires per capita of anywhere in America, including Silicon Valley. That's a post 9/11 development. And it's not an accident. This so-called war on terror has made a lot of people very, very wealthy. We've entered into a permanent wartime economy where we have to spend this kind of money on so-called national defense if we don't want to go into a recession. This is what we've done to ourselves. An African diplomat told me just recently that when the Russians go to them, to his government, they promise food. When the Americans go, they promise democracy, which is really weapons. And he said, which one should we take? We're going to take the food. We don't need more weapons. There was a comment that was made just yesterday by a State Department official saying that all this money that we've been sending to Israel, which is a first world country, we could send it to a place like Niger. And the Nigerian said, we don't want it, because when you say you're going to send money, what you mean is you're going to send weapons. And your weapons have caused us nothing but trouble.
Our involvement abroad has led to slavery. It has led to mass
literal
migration.
Slavery.
Yeah, literal. I'm talking like slave markets actually exist. You know, has led to all kinds of people being displaced, which causes illegal immigration in all of these other countries. The spreading out of different cultures, if you will. Our involvement has led to a lot of death and a lot of carnage. It's my belief that we're probably the most corrupt fake government on the face of the planet. And I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, being a CIA whistleblower, and I'm unfamiliar with all of, you know, the things that you have exposed here, but the dying question is the CIA actively involved with carrying out missions against the American people?
Well, in the long run, I would have to say yes. I think that very much of what the CIA does is antithetical to the interests of the American people. But the thing is, the CIA has two major problems. Number one, it has a very short institutional memory. Number two, it prides itself on not being a policy organization. It's a support organization. It does what it's told to do by whoever happens to be sitting in the White House and whoever happens to be appointed at any given time as the National Security Advisor.
Do you think ISIS was a CIA creation?
Inadvertently, yes.
Do you think Black Lives Matter and Antifa were CIA creations?
No, but I think that they were probably FBI creations.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the CIA teaching MI6 or other, you know, foreign intelligence agencies how to carry out operations on Americans, being that it's illegal for the CIA to carry out operations against American people on its own soil?
You know, that's funny, because it is illegal to carry out operations against American citizens. And what the CIA has done over the last 10, 15, even 20 years is just simply go to another Five Eyes country, the British MI6. The Australian ASIO, the Canadians, the New Zealanders, and say, listen, we can't surveil this American, or we can't run an operation against this American, but you can. Would you do this for us? And they say, well, of course we will.
And then that information just happens to stumble across the desk of some CIA asset.
Mm-hmm. Sure. It happens all the time.
Or some DOJ official.
And there's no oversight. Yeah. No oversight at all. Nothing.
And why is that? Why does the CIA have this unfettered access to just a complete deregulation?
Because the overseers on Capitol Hill are afraid of losing their security clearances and afraid of being branded as unpatriotic. And so rather than to exercise actual oversight, as was done for the most part in the 70s and the 80s, they just give up. You know, I may have told you once before in our last conversation that when I got out of prison, I ran into a Democratic senator from the Senate Intelligence Committee at a cocktail party. And I went up to him and I said, well, he welcomed me home from prison. I said, hey, Senator, I got to say, I was disappointed, frankly, that I didn't get any real support for you from you. I thought, you know, of all people on the Intelligence Committee, you would be the one to leap to my defense. He got very angry and he said, it took all of my energy not to lose my security clearance. And I said, so that's it. You're afraid of them. That's what it comes down to. And I think that that's the bottom line. They're all afraid of the CIA.
You know, I think Americans in general could be described in that way. I think that many people are afraid of losing their jobs. They're afraid of losing their status in their social circles. They're afraid of losing their kids. CPS
Absolutely.
Will come take your kids
Absolutely
from you. They're scared of losing their freedom. Hey, the FBI will come and arrest you. They won't. They won't do a show like this. They don't want to come on shows. They won't even come on my show because of the way that the ADL writes about me, or because of the way the Rolling Stone or the New York Times writes about me, or because my fake Wikipedia page that's basically authored in its entirety by the Daily Beast. These people will not come on this program because they're afraid of being associated with somebody who has been falsely labeled as some sort of an extremist radical. And, you know, that basically puts you, I'm sure that I have an FBI file. I'm sure that I have a CIA file. I'm sure of it. I'm sure that they're looking into any reason that they can to knock on my door and take my guns and take my freedom and take me away from my kids and lock me up and throw away the key.
Yes.
And I think that Americans are, by and large, afraid of that.
Oh, I think you're right. And one single felony conviction on something as simple as a process crime, a throwaway felony, failing to register for the FARA, making a false statement, conspiracy, whatever that means you can never own a gun again. And I think that for a lot of us, that's the government's goal. It's to disarm us.
Yeah. Well, they have to, because when the empire of lies gets exposed, or it stops telling lies and just collapses and implodes on itself, when the emperor has no clothes and everybody is looking naked at this vulnerable thing, I mean, the best way to act when something is vulnerable, if it is your enemy, is to take it down, to abolish it, to tear it apart,
yes,
to get it out of the way, and then to replace it with something that's representative of you. And I think that our Constitution is very specific and very direct in explaining how it is that we handle a government that becomes oppressive to our God-given, inherent, inalienable rights. And I think
Agreed.
That once people start acting in accordance with the Constitution and really understanding the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, I think that there is going to be a mass awakening in this country, and January 6th will look like child's play as a result of that.
I think you're right.
John Kiriakou, thank you so much for staying here for an extended period of time. Always appreciate
thank
the conversation,
you.
Of course.
Pleasure's mine. Thank you.
Everybody now knows that we live in an upside-down clown world under an empire of lies, a murderous regime. So previously, it may have sounded crazy, but I'm sure you won't be surprised to learn that liberals are very upset that people like me are advertising the Vanish holster. They cannot stand how this holster has helped get more Americans armed than ever before. What's so special about this Vanish holster, you might ask? Well, simple. It is the most comfortable holster ever. The most comfortable holster I've ever worn. I have plenty of experience, 15 years in bounty hunting, lots of experience with holsters and firearms. And when you get a Vanish holster, you'll never stop carrying because you'll forget you're even wearing it. Plus, the Vanish holster saves you money. That's because it fits 99% of all semi-auto handguns. It works without a tactical belt. It lets you carry in multiple positions. It carries two fully loaded magazines. And best of all, because you're a viewer of this program, you get it for $50 off. I am told that this discount is set to expire soon, so kick in your special pricing. Lock it in right now. Go to vanish.com/stew. That's VNSH.com/stew. VNSH.com/stew. It's all back for the money-back guarantee, and I believe them when they say it's the only holster that you'll ever need because it's the last one that you'll ever buy. Vanish.com/stew right now, today, before this discount expires. You have a child, and that child has a diagnosis of ADHD. You've gone to the doctor, and they are suggesting neurotoxins like Adderall and Ritalin and methylphenidate and clonidine because they are whores for big pharma and because they are poison pushers and fake doctors. please try something else before you destroy your kid's life potentially with all of the documented irreversible long-term side effects associated with all of the aforementioned. Please try CBD and please use the family-owned business that we do business with here. All the hemp is grown right here in my home state of Minnesota. Everything can be sourced. You're not going to get any poisons or toxic crap in your CBD like you will if you go to the corner store, which sells all of this BS from China. Go to curable.com. That's K-U-R-I-B-L, curable.com. Family-owned business, all the hemp sourced right here in my home state of Minnesota. So many other benefits to Curable, which you can find on their website. Plus, if you like THC products, they have them as well. Go to curable.com. Use promo code STU for 20% off site-wide when you go to curable.com. The Stu Peters Show is brought to you in part by Earth Echo Foods and their superfood product, Cacao Bliss. Cacao Bliss starts with 100% organic rare cacao beans and also contains turmeric, MCT oil, cinnamon, and Himalayan salt. These ingredients were carefully chosen to support health, longevity, healthy weight, and even your happiness. You'll fall in love with a truly guilt-free chocolate, help reduce your cravings, facilitate weight loss, boost your energy, and combat inflammation with one delicious drink. It's gluten-free, by the way, also paleo, keto, and vegetarian diet friendly. You can receive an additional 15% off when you visit earthechofoods.com/stew and use discount code STEW. Welcome back. So all of the knives are out for Robert Kennedy Jr. RFK appeared before Congress this week to testify about the undeniable coordinated censorship that he's faced online ever since he broke with the left and became perhaps the world's single most famous critic of the mass vaccination agenda. They're basically running the same playbook here that they ran against Donald Trump. Think about it. Constant delegitimization at all levels. First, there's censorship and deplatforming. You know, just last month, RFK's blockbuster interview with Jordan Peterson, yeah, it got yanked off of YouTube for misinformation. His appearances on Joe Rogan have been treated almost the same way. And you know why? It's because this is absolutely what they have to do. But they're failing because the Kennedy name is way too big and his message is way too popular, so now it's getting out there. So when censorship failed, they tried ridicule. They've called RFK Jr. a conspiracy theorist. They've mocked him as a goofball and an idiot. During the congressional hearings about censorship, Democrats simply just made fun of him and tried to land these stupid dunks rather than actually engaging with anything that he had to say. But these are congressional Democrats. They have the charisma of a damp paper bag. Everybody knows that. So now they've been turning to the next phase, which is relentless character assassination. They've taken RFK's suggestion that, hey, maybe COVID-19 actually was designed to target some groups of people but not others. And by the way, he didn't come up with that idea. No, scientists did by analyzing the actual rates that people got infected. You can read peer-reviewed published papers about it. Just 2 years ago, even the media admitted this. They were claiming that COVID was a bigger threat to blacks than any other groups and were saying that that justified denying medical care to old white people. But now they've flipped the script completely and they're calling RFK Jr. a bigot simply for saying that he's read some scientific papers online. Ignore it. Ignore the lies. It's purely about attacking his character. But again, it's failing. Nobody takes these character attacks from the press seriously anymore. So now look for them to eventually try the next phase of the Trump playbook and attempt to literally just throw RFK Jr. in prison. What will the excuse be? Well, who knows? But we know from the four different criminal investigations of Donald Trump that they're good at coming up with excuses. But still, for now, RFK is running for president. So how seriously should we take his candidacy? Steve Kirsch has been following RFK Jr.'s presidential campaign extremely closely, and he joins us now. Steve, thanks for coming back. We always appreciate having you.
Stu, thanks for having me back. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. So your thoughts on this?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I have the utmost respect for RFK Jr. I think he's going to, or I should say when he gets elected, I think he's going to be the best president ever. And you know, I voted in the last election for Joe Biden. And, you know, I admit that because that's what happened. But I would never do that again. And the reason is that Joe Biden doesn't believe in free speech. He believes that people that he disagrees with should be censored.
But Joe Biden is just he's a criminal. I mean, he's one of the most corrupt people on the face of the planet.
It's horrible. You know, I regret the decision that I voted for him. And you know, also, I've given well over $10 million to the Democratic Party in the past. And I would get calls all the time from Democrats, you know, hey, can you help me out with my campaign? And what's interesting is that when I discovered that the COVID vaccines, that the data behind the COVID vaccines was all negative, I couldn't get a single Democrat on the phone, not in the House, not in the Senate, couldn't get a single Democrat on the phone to talk about the data.
I wonder if there's a refund button that you could hit, actually, because normally when you buy something and it's defective, you know, you get your money back. I wonder if you could do that. These people were more than happy to pick up your calls, I'm sure, when you were giving them $10 million.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work that way. And I didn't ask anyone for my money back. But I'll tell you, I was very, 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 very disappointed that not a single Democrat would engage with me for even more than 60 seconds.
These are not your mom's and dad's Democrats anymore. I mean, I think that, you know, as a whole, everybody kind of is starting to realize that people who, you know, were traditional Democrats who could argue both sides of the proverbial fake, you know, construct called the aisle, you know, those people were different. They were reasonable. They would sit down, they would have conversation, they would have debate, they were open to different ideas. Today's Democrat Party is a party of radical communists. And so they're going to shut down any dissent to the left-wing agenda of forced vaccinations and lockdowns and masking and, you know, censorship and all of the other criminal activity that we're seeing now with Hunter Biden. And Joe Biden, you know, is not running the White House. He's a figurehead, obviously, propped up there for the Obamas, now probably suspects in a murder after the chef died there. These people are the ones pulling the strings, them and like Valerie Jarrett and the like. These communists are actually the ones that are running Joe Biden in foreign interests, China, Israel. These people are the ones that are now running our government. But as far as Robert Kennedy Jr., you said that when he wins, he'll be the most successful president ever. What makes you think that?
Because he looks at what the data shows and he makes his decision based on science and facts. And he's willing to entertain being challenged on issues. And so, for example, I don't think he's got it quite right on nuclear power. I think he's missing some of the advanced second, third generation nuclear. But he has an advisor who is well up to speed on this, and I don't think he's had the chance to chat with him in depth. And so there are a few issues that I'll disagree with him on. But the thing about Bobby is that he looks at the science. And if he's wrong, he'll change his mind. But the most important thing is he's willing to entertain the possibility that the scientific consensus is wrong. And he's actually willing to go up against that when somebody points this out to him and he looks into it and he finds that they're correct, he'll shift his position.
There's no question that I agree with a lot of what he says on these shots. You know, he's unwilling to go all the way and call them a weapon of biowarfare, despite the fact that the patents call them that, at least a component of them in this lipid nanoparticle. You know, and so, but I mean, this is kind of a one-dimensional campaign at this point. I mean, what else qualifies him to be the president? Is it, is it because the CIA likely killed his father or his brother? What makes him think he won't be killed now? I mean, what is the rest of RFK Jr.'s campaign that actually makes him a viable candidate for president? How can he lead?
Well, I think he's on the issues on, I'd say I agree with him on 99% of the issues that he talks about. You know, he talks about the war in Ukraine. Like, what's our purpose of the war in Ukraine, right? Is it, you know, there are two divergent goals. And he points out that we're acting as if it's goal number one sometimes and it's goal number two other times. And you can't have it either way. It's not an either or decision. And so he points out correctly that things like this are not being handled correctly because people aren't making rational decisions. And so he may not make decisions that you and I would agree with on everything, but he's, you know, to get to 95%, 99% of get it right most of the time, that's really important. And you want to get it right on the key issues. You want to get it right on the economy. You want to get it right on wars. You want to get it right on healthcare. And if you can get it right on 95% of the time on those things, you're way,
yeah, I mean,
way
getting
ahead.
It right on wars would be ignoring Pfizer butt slut Lindsey Graham. I think then also going in and just deeming every one of these people, the Bidens and Graham and everybody who supported these wars, as war criminals, and then locking them up and treating them accordingly after a fair trial, of course, carrying out sentencing. And I think the same thing with this shot. Everybody who brought this to market, everybody who called it safe and effective, everybody who continues to push it should be locked up and tried in some sort of a military tribunal. I mean, I think there should be no other conversation. We have to move the ball to accountability right now. But why are people who are candidates for office so careful about treading this PC line of what is socially acceptable to say out in public? Somebody should be out here strong saying, if I am president, these people will be held to account. There will be no exceptions at all whatsoever.
Yeah. I'm sure that when RFK is elected president, he will do everything in his power to ensure accountability of what has happened in the past. And he will also restructure these agencies to make them more accountable to the public and to the public's interest. And that you can rely on. And I don't know anyone who's even close to that. You know, he is just so far ahead of the pack.
Has he talked about dismantling the FDA or the CDC completely? Is he willing to do that? Is he willing to tear down these murderous bureaucracies that do nothing but harm and kill Americans?
I think the point is to fix what's wrong. And whether that involves tearing them down and building it from scratch or doing something else, I don't think I haven't heard him talk about exactly how he would do that. There are lots of ways to skin that cat. But wouldn't it be nice if there's someone in the White House who actually realizes, I mean, that these agencies are extremely corrupt?
I think they all realize
that.
That's where we differ. Well, I know that they know it, and they're weaponizing them because they know how corrupt they are, and they've openly declared war on American citizens, and they're killing children.
But the candidates are not talking about how corrupt, how if they get into office, that they would fix the corruption at the FDA and the corruption at the CDC and the corruption at the NIH.
And that's a shame. They should be.
They should be. And so it's things like that where RFK Jr. is basically saying, look, we're really gonna clean up government. It wasn't like, you know, Trump said, hey, I'm going to come in and we're going to get rid of all of these corrupt people. We're going to drain the swamp. Okay. So what happened during Trump's reign as president where he drained the swamp? Did you see a change at the FDA? Did you see a change at the CDC, or did you see a change at the NIH? No. It actually got worse, Stu. I mean, you'd probably agree with me that under Trump.
I do agree with you. I think the swamp got closer to Donald Trump. I mean, we had all the way up to his chief of staff doing business with this ridiculously named Humpty Dumpty Institute, which is a subsidiary of the Taiha Institute and directly influenced by the PLA officials in China. So, yes, I mean, I think that there's been communist infiltration all the way to President Trump's chief of staff. We also have the shady business dealings of Jared Kushner. We also have the jailbreak legislation that let thousands of violent criminals back onto the streets to reoffend. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that I think that Trump is a perfect guy who's going to ride in on a white horse and save our country. I don't believe that there has ever been a plan to save our country. I've always said on this show, we need to be the plan. But I think that, you know, in order for somebody to properly represent us, assuming that elections aren't fake and gay and rigged and stolen like we know that they all are, and unless real change happens, it doesn't matter, because if RFK is the president, it's safe to assume he was installed there by the CIA and the rest of these intelligence apparatus. I think that this is more of a protest campaign. That's just my thinking. I think that this campaign is about launching and mainstreaming conversation that has previously been deemed as disinformation or radical extremist speech. I think that he's doing a tremendous service for the country right now by nationalizing, you know, in particular, this conversation about how this weapon of biowarfare is killing people and how vaccines are not safe and effective. And I agree with what Dr. Peter McCullough said, is that he thinks that everybody should be an anti-vaxxer at this point right now.
Yes, and Peter's correct on that. He's courageous for speaking out. So Peter's been red pilled. Peter used to believe that the vaccines were safe and effective.
That's right.
That's what he was taught in med school.
Yep.
And most of these doctors just don't spend any time double checking that, because it comes from credible sources and they believe it to be true. And the problem, of course, with that is that when you look at it, all of these vaccines are bad. And if you flip the switch and you say, hey, what would happen if we didn't vaccinate any kid at all? The result is that the kids are uniformly healthier by every stretch, by, you know, almost every measure. The kids are healthier. You know, they don't even get the disease that they didn't get vaccinated for as well. And they don't, there was a study done saying that they have 25 times fewer visits to the pediatricians than kids who were fully vaccinated.
And I think largely that doesn't even have anything to do with not being injected with, 72 poisons by the time that they're, you know, 18 years old now. But more so, first of all, they're not. Okay, so that is factor number one. I agree with that. But number two, people in general have lost all trust in the healthcare, big pharma, industrial complex at all. They don't trust their government anymore. They realize that it's a murderous crime syndicate, a corporate government crime syndicate. They realize that Pfizer's, you know, got a headquarters right in Washington, D.C. Why is that? I mean, all of these politicians that won't talk about Pfizer and Moderna killing people, well, of course not, because they're lining their pockets, they're getting rich, they're maintaining their power structure. This is why Marjorie Taylor Greene is all nestled up under McCarthy. And they're still sending billions of dollars over to the neo-Nazis in Ukraine that Robert Kennedy is ready to talk about. I'm out of time, but I do appreciate RFK Jr. platforming and mainstreaming these messages. I'm not sold on his ability to lead the country at this point. So I guess there we can agree to disagree. Maybe he will be the best president ever, but he's going to have to prove it. I've lost trust in our bureaucracy, in our system altogether, as do I think, you know, the majority of Americans have. We've watched what happened in 2020, no matter how they try to gaslight you. And we've seen what's happened with this Republican-led, you know, majority Congress, absolutely nothing. When was the last time a GOP congressional hearing or inquiry actually made a positive difference in anybody's lives? They don't. It's all a sham. It's all part of a movie. These people are pro wrestlers. 30 seconds. I want to give you the final words.
You know, I think that I disagree with you. I think that RFK will be a phenomenal president. And look, we don't get a choice here. We get a choice between a few candidates running for office. We, at the end of the day, you know, it'll boil down to who's the Democratic nominee and who is the Republican nominee.
What you just said absolutely is appalling, and you should rethink that. By saying we don't get a choice here. We don't get a choice here. That has been my point all along. We don't get a choice. If you wanted to run for president, maybe no problem because you're rich. If I want to run for president, I have to come up with 460,000 individual small donors totaling $22 million just to get on a debate stage with, you know, DeSantis and Trump. I can't even do it. Yeah, I got to buy my way into the system. So when you say we don't get a choice, that is the heart of the problem right there. And I think that every American should absolutely be eyes open to that. You're right.
Yeah.
You hit the nail right on the head. We don't get a choice.
That's the way our system is set up. And as an independent candidate, you have virtually no chance today of becoming president. So you have to run in one of the parties. And between on the Democratic side, there's no comparison between do I vote for Biden, who wants to censor free speech, or do I vote for RFK Jr.?
Yeah.
Well, you know, just on that one issue alone, I don't even have to go into the other issues.
Yeah. If the question is, do I like RFK Jr. more than I like Biden? Yes, absolutely. There's no question there.
Great. Good.
Yeah,
okay.
So,
and the fact that Biden will not debate RFK Jr., I mean, that's got to be another.
It's all set up. You know, there's a red flag for you right there. It's all set up. They can pigeonhole him back into his basement. They can usher in another national emergency. They can keep him locked up and out of the public view because he's a stumbling, bumbling idiot that literally defecates himself on the international stage. He's an international embarrassment. The guy makes wrong turns all the time. He takes probably 10 naps a day. I don't even know that he's actually in the White House. He's sniffing little kids all over the place and groping them and grabbing them and licking ice cream cones. I mean, the guy is an absolute embarrassment, but he's there because he was installed. If you're going to tell me that Joe Biden garnered more votes in 2020 than Trump, then, I mean, that, come on. The guy, look at the rallies now. We see these little circles on the ground at these Biden rallies with their stupid social distancing and their nonsense, arbitrary 6-foot prison camp mentality. And you're going to tell me that this guy got more votes than Obama did? The first black president ever, he and his husband. And then you've got, you know, Trump, who's got 43, 50, 60,000 people at rallies showing up. Most of them can't even get in. And this guy's got circles painted on the ground. Like, I don't know, like he's trying to summons the mothership or something. Tripping as he tries to jog his way on stage to show how fit and healthy he is and young and jubile and joviant.
So look,
it's a big joke.
The bottom line is that there's a lot of corruption in government. Yeah. It's much, much more than I ever believed was there. And I think that most people... most people aren't aware of that.
Yeah. Well, I think they're becoming
RFK
aware.
RFK Jr. will do more than anyone in history to clean up the corruption in government.
Are you on the campaign?
No, I'm not on the
campaign. So you don't have a role? You're not associated with the campaign?
I'm independent.
All right. Right on. Yeah. I mean, I have to ask, obviously. So we will see. No, we always appreciate your input, and we love that you always continue to come back, Steve Kirsch. It's always a great conversation. You, by the way, also another red-pilled guy, very similar to Peter McCullough, but you did it a lot earlier. And I think you know a lot more than maybe even sometimes you let on yourself. Thank you so much for being here. We always appreciate it. Hope you come back soon.
Thanks, Stu.
Heart disease, blood clots, strokes, kidney failure. These can all be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle listed as side effects. And to top it all off, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. It's not only ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors to be popping ibuprofen pills. That's why researchers are saying to add this Antarctic supernutrient to your diet. These are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it can outperform ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol, and it doesn't have the dangerous side effects mentioned above either. Better yet, for a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to stopmyinflammation.com right now to get your special offer for being a part of my audience. Stopmyinflammation.com.
Hey, America, Dr. Stella Emmanuel here. One of the things that we've put together is what I call the Pandemic Preparedness Pack. It has 5 essential things in it. Number one, it has CoviVite. CoviVite has vitamin C, D, zinc, and quercetin. We have CoviLite. CoviLite gives you energy. It helps you with hydration. It also gives you mental clarity, the brain fog, and antioxidants. We actually use this as part of our Vax Detox Combo. Then we have Viramune Plus. Viramune Plus can build your immunity. It has elderberry, bilberry, echinacea, ECG. It has proteases and peptides. Then we have Covidine. Covidine is potassium iodide. If we get nuked, you're going to need potassium iodide to protect your thyroid from absorbing radiation. The last thing we have is Fox Defense. Fox Defense is an old Indian remedy that has Sarracenia purpura or pitcher plant. And it used to work against smallpox, and it can help you against all the pox viruses to build your immunity.
Use the promo code STU for big discounts when they go to drstellamd.com. Yes. Use that promo code STU. It saved me a ton of cash, and it'll save you as well. Well, I don't know about you, but off and on, I've had trouble sleeping for years. Actually, the majority of Americans struggle to get the sleep that they need. A friend of mine told me that it might be a magnesium deficiency, so I tried a whole bunch of supplements, and none of it worked. Well, finally, thanks to this program, I was introduced to nutrition scientist and champion bodybuilder Wade Lightheart, and he told me there's actually 7 types of magnesium, and your body needs all 7 in order to get the proper sleep that some of these other companies advertise but just don't produce. Problem is, because of industrial fertilizers, basically all the food that we eat is now deficient in magnesium. Magnesium Breakthrough is the only full-spectrum supplement that includes all 7 forms of magnesium that's on the market. And let me tell you, this stuff actually works. Not only did it finally fix my sleep, but the energy levels that I've experienced have gone through the roof as well. To learn more about Magnesium Breakthrough, go to magbreakthrough.com/StuPeters. Use promo code StuPeters10 to get 10% off your first bottle. You'll be glad that you did. magbreakthrough.com/StuPeters. Spoiler alert. There is another pandemic on the way. What is that pandemic exactly? Well, the specific details haven't been revealed yet. Maybe they're still concocting it at, oh, I don't know, Fort Detrick or University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Maybe in the bioweapons labs in Ukraine that you are funding. We don't know, but we know for certain that it's coming. Absolutely coming. How do we know that exactly? Well, the powers that be, all of them, from Anthony Fauci to Klaus Schwab, are basically shouting it from the rooftops. If you don't remember, we'll remind you. Last year at Johns Hopkins University, they held their secretive little catastrophic contagion exercise, planning out exactly what they'll do during the next pandemic. Dr. Fauci, who predicted in 2017 that Trump would absolutely deal with a pandemic, has now declared that another pandemic is, quote, certain. Bill Gates has been loudly saying all over the place, another pandemic is absolutely coming, and he's trying to increase readiness. You see, they need another pandemic. They need it because their perpetual power grab, their world of lockdowns and travel restrictions and surveillance and censorship and globalization can only be justified through a perpetual state of emergency. So it's coming, for sure. Dr. Paul Elias Alexander served at HHS during the Trump administration. He was a senior COVID advisor to President Trump. He now works with the wellness company, which is selling pandemic preparedness kits for the next time the powers that be decide to shut the planet down and release some weapon of biowarfare against us. And he joins us now. Dr. Alexander, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being back.
Thank you very much. What an honor again, Stu, to be on your show.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you. So, I mean, we know that another pandemic is coming. The wellness company, a great company, by the way, the vision of Dr. Zev Zelenko, has now come up with this pandemic preparedness kit. What can we expect to see from that? What's available there?
Well, I mean, of course, Stu, you want to be prepared societally, nationally for a pandemic. The question is it a real pandemic? Is it a manufactured pandemic? We know now that the COVID, this COVID prior pandemic was a non-pandemic, turned out to be an infection fatality rate of 0.04, 0.05 for people 75 years and below, 0.003% for kids 0 to 19. So we really did not have a pandemic, and we put the country through disaster. We harmed people with the lockdowns, the school closures. We killed people, and we ended up bringing a fraud mRNA technology gene injection that actually has turned out to be catastrophic.
You know, I just want to say something. I just have to say this. For our viewing audience, this is an historic moment, and I want everybody to understand the magnitude here of what Dr. Alexander is saying. The only person with the entire bureaucracy structure, all of the infrastructure from NIH to FDA to CDC to HHS, the only person that's actually saying this, that has the testicular fortitude, the balls to talk like this and actually say the unfettered, unpolished truth, is Dr. Alexander. So if I trust anybody during all of this, it's absolutely you. So I'm sorry, I just had to say that because I think that it's giant for people. They should know what they're wrapping their heads around here.
Well, I appreciate how you said that. The fact of the matter is, we know today that no lockdown worked. We did not need lockdowns. We could have strongly protected the vulnerable only. Just protect the vulnerable, let the rest of society live normally, especially children. No touch by the government, no lockdowns, no school closures, no business closures. We manufactured a fraud pandemic with a fraud PCR test that was overcycled, that was detecting viral dust and viral fragments, not infectious, lethal pathogen. So everything about this was a lie. Now, here's the issue. The issue is they're beginning to talk about this MERS coronavirus. Now, we had this MERS coronavirus in 2010, 2012 in the Middle East. And I have to say that that particular pathogen has a mortality rate of about 40%. That is a lethal pathogen. Now, the issue is whether that too is itself manufactured or natural evolution. The point being is this. What they did to the world before was a catastrophic failure and a lie. Now, if a real pathogen comes along, that's what we always feared, that was really problematic and that you really had to take societal constraints. The public probably will not even listen to public health anymore because doctors and scientists have lost all credibility. And now what we have is companies like the wellness company taking a positive posture, a proactive posture by saying, look, we don't know exactly what's happening, but we know from history that there are about 8 to 10 medications, drugs that are available, safe, tested, regulatory approved, that the wellness company is saying you should keep in your medicine cabinet. And that's the push right now. And we are talking about particular antibiotics, anti-inflammatories, etc., ivermectin, fluconazole, metronidazole, doxycycline, etc., so that you can be prepared. Always have it in your medicine chest, so to speak. But the point of view is this, Stu. In life, it should be moderation and common sense. You as a societal member should really sit back and ask yourself, is what the medical profession or these government officials telling me the truth? And quite often, you would come up with no. They're misleading you. They're lying to you. And they have really damaged the society. Because if we really did have a pathogen with a mortality rate really of just 2%, that's a catastrophic situation. COVID, the mortality rate, the infection fatality rate was 0.05%. Half of seasonal influenza or at seasonal influenza. So what we did was we shut the world down. We shut society down for a lie. We hurt people. We harmed them with the sedation and the medical management of them. I applaud the wellness company. I hope other companies do same and bring these kind of preparedness, emergency preparedness kits to the society.
Yeah, we hope so too. I've looked over this pandemic preparedness kit. Things in there to keep yourself healthy. Things in there to keep your kids healthy. This is something that absolutely should be in your medicine cabinet. All of these things, we talked about it, ivermectin, doxycycline, antibiotics that you just can't go and get because chances are you have a poison-pushing fake doctor, some zombie with a stethoscope and a white lab coat that has bought into this medical industrial complex and was one of the doctors that, by the way, was paid to admit people with this fake COVID and then have them murdered for money, killed for cash, strapping them up to ventilators, sedating them with sedatives, and then, you know, putting this poisonous remdesivir coursing through their veins and then collecting paychecks of $300,000 per patient for that for-profit hospital that was the modern day ovens. That's what happened here. And so if you want to stay healthy, you just put it in your medicine cabinet. And that way you're not having to worry about where do I go to get ivermectin because you know your doctor is going to call you a conspiracy theorist and not give it to you. Where do I go to get doxycycline if I'm bit by a tick and I don't want this tick-borne illness? You know, where do I get these other things? And I know that personally because I had to have doxycycline. So that's how I know it's tick-related. But all of the things that you will need are in this kit. This pandemic preparedness kit that you can get at pandemicprotocol.com. Again, that's pandemicprotocol.com. Dr. Alexander, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
For healthcare you can trust, go to heroicdoctors.com and connect with the trusted and unbiased doctors of the Wellness Company. This is the future of medical care. Access to top-flight healthcare from anywhere by visiting heroicdoctors.com and the Wellness Company. You get uncensored content, virtual appointments with trusted medical professionals, doctors who aren't scared to follow protocols that keep you healthy, a real pharmacy that will fill your prescriptions, exclusive treatment packages, vaccine exemption letters, world-class supplements, healthcare products, and so much more. The last few years have proven just how broken our healthcare system is. Access to real medicine shouldn't be dictated by who you know or where you live. Break the power of Big Pharma and keep you and your family safe. Go to heroicdoctors.com and join today.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Chuck Norris. Who couldn't be? He's not just an action star, he's a veteran, he's a family man, and he's actually really big on health. But get this, he says that he feels better right now at age 83 than he has in years, and it's from making one single change to his diet. What he realized is that after decades of trying every supplement out there, most of them did nothing for his health. But a few did provide dramatic changes. So he put them all together in one drink that he calls Morning Kick. Morning Kick combines all 10 of Chuck Norris's favorite supplements into one daily drink. It's got probiotics that help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for all those muscles and joints, and several of the most powerful anti-aging supplements on earth. Look at this guy, he looks great. I gotta say, I started taking Morning Kick because I'm a fan of Chuck Norris and I trust him, and I can see why everyone is raving about it. What's amazing is how much more energy I have. Digestion is fantastic. I'm thinking more clearly. Obviously, everyone is unique, so results will be different for different people, but for me, it's an absolute game changer. It makes me feel younger. Plus, it tastes great, just like strawberry lemonade. It's become my favorite drink, actually. If you want to try it yourself, head over to americareadysupply.com/stew. That's americareadysupply.com/stew. We're seeing unprecedented criminal tax hikes, hyperinflation, a full-blown recession, and it's all part of the grand plan. The billions of dollars that Biden keeps sending to that corrupt, fake Ukraine. The trillions in new taxes that he wants to shove down your throat. The electronic banking system crash, resetting everybody to zero. Checking accounts, savings accounts, 401ks, IRAs, all of it. Zero. But you don't have to be a victim. Protect your money and get up to $10,000 in free silver to do it when you call my friends at Goldco. Goldco has helped to protect over $2 billion in gold and silver for people like you and me. And now they're offering you up to $10,000 in bonus silver when opening a qualified IRA account just for being a supporter of the Stu Peters Show. So whether you want to protect your 50 grand or a half a million or even more, this is your opportunity to protect yourself from our out-of-control, corrupt corporate crime syndicate. Don't be a victim. Call Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Or go to goldco.com/stu. So we've spent a lot of time today talking about the Empire of Lies. The Empire of Lies is disastrous for you because they're coming after virtually every single aspect of your life, for power, for money, for control. And so, of course, in order to enrich themselves and to make more money, they have to take your money, and they'll use force to do it. They use the threats of the IRS and CBDCs. These are the things right here. The digital currency fingerprint card, the virtual QR code that you'll have to possess, the mark of the beast. Nobody knows more about this than Carlos Cortez. He's with Cortez Wealth Management. Been here since the very beginning. So, I mean, how concerned are you about CBDCs? What is the real threat that the Empire of Lies poses on people's financial future?
Yes, dude, I'm glad you mentioned that because most people have their money in the bank, Stu. And it's just like, how exposed are you? And you're relying on putting your money with the FDIC. God forbid a bank goes belly up like they have been this past year. Look at the stock KRE that covers the regionals. You are subject to a FDIC claim. And the government literally has their own time on when they can pay you back. It's not when you think, oh, I have FDIC insurance, I'm getting my money back tomorrow. No, it doesn't work that way. Have you ever waited on a check from the government?
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, absolutely. In my younger days, when I actually got money back and I worked for, you know, some W-2 wage earning employer, and thank God for that. I mean, I started working when I was 12 years old at a Mr. Donut shop in Richfield, Minnesota, by the way, pouring coffee for old men that were bitching and complaining about all of the world's problems. And here we are still doing the same thing. The problems seem to be a little bit larger magnitude now. But here's the question that most people will ask you. If I keep my money not in a bank, where can I keep it but still have access to it? Do you have solutions for that?
Yeah, so we have private insurance solutions. We have private wealth management solutions. And that's going to be the number one thing going into this Luciferian agenda is that you are going to have to seek private shelter when it comes to your financial transactions and particularly your retirement. So as the CBDC evolves in artificial intelligence and smart poles and all this tracking and tracing, the liberal Luciferian left want to do, we have to shelter. We have to figure ways to shelter your funds from these transactions. And it doesn't have to be crypto. It doesn't have to be precious metals. It needs to be a diverse approach. And we have the solutions there. Obviously, I can't give advice on a public podcast, but if you call us, we will be more than happy to set us some time to talk to see what's right for you and your family and whatever makes sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. And the emails that I get here on a daily basis are probably the best testimonial that you could ever have. It's a real sample of real people for the last, 3 years now that you've been here from the very beginning. I can't believe it's already been almost 3 years. I mean, it seems like the PC radio show was just the other day, really online complaining to a group of seven people on Facebook. And now here we are, and you made that possible. But you also made it possible for a lot of people to diversify their portfolios, to protect their, you know, assets, to their retirement, their children's financial future, college educations, all of these things that are just getting wiped out. They're getting stolen. People don't even realize you don't own your retirement account. In many cases, your 401k. Luck getting into Social Security. I mean, what is it going to be like 93 before you can access that now? They're taking it. They're stealing it. They're robbing you. So protect yourself. Go to Cortez Wealth Management's website and book your appointment with Carlos Cortez. That website is CortezWM.com. Again, CortezWM.com. Or you can call this guy in the office anytime, 813-448-3446. He answers his phone. Again, 813-448-3446, Cortez Wealth Management. You probably don't even know where your personal investments are. I mean, Carlos, how many people have been invested in like Pfizer when they came to you and they're like shocked to learn that?
Yeah, it's incredible. There's no transparency there, Stu. And unfortunately, stupid face Biden wants to put ESG in 20% of all retirement accounts related to 401k.
ESG, yes. Program. Conversation for a whole nother day because we could really get into that. Carlos Cortez, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right. For the rest of you, we are out of time for today. I know it was an extended show today on Rumble and at StuPeters.com and everywhere else the podcast is available. Had to cut it a little short today on DirecTV or Dish Network. So if you're viewing us on DirecTV or Dish Network on the Beck News Network, please go to StuPeters.com. You don't want to miss the conversation I had with John Kiriakou, a former CIA agent. We will be back tomorrow with a very special edition of Remedy. Go to remedy.film/StuPeters right now. Again, remedy.film/StuPeters. Sign up to see it. It'll be right here at the same time from the same place. Until then, God bless you.